This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It is now 4:06, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current director of outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show today comes from the environmental stewardship fee, a $4 fee that every UK student pays along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I am joined by Zoe Gabrielson and Jared Penn. They are two UK students who facilitated a trip to the Northeastern Kentucky Beekeeping School this past weekend. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Glad to be here.
So can you give us a general overview about what the beekeeping school was?
Sure. So in Kentucky, there's several beekeeping schools. This one, the Northeastern Beekeeping School, had lots of sessions. So people who had never kept bees before, people who already had bees, people who were just thinking about it, they were all finding something there. There were introductory beekeeping sessions. There was stuff about how to treat hives for diseases and things like that. And it was just a really good experience for everyone who was involved. They had lots of experts, and actually an entomologist from UK was speaking as well.
Awesome. So who hosted it, and what were some of the speakers like?
So it was hosted by the Licking River Beekeeping Association, and it was in Maysville. And some of the speakers, like I said, there was many because they had several sessions, so there was something for everybody. But the keynote speaker was Claire Richoff. And she is from the UK Department of Entomology. She gave a really interesting talk about honeybee behavior and how it's related to the health of a hive.
Awesome. So a lot of people hear that, you know, the bees are dying, the bees are in danger, but what are the actual problems that are facing them?
Right. So this is kind of a complicated question, and a lot of people don't fully understand exactly what's going on. But there's a lot of problems right now with the use of pesticides, neonicotinoids, which are really, really harmful for bees. And bees are also susceptible to a type of parasitic mite called the varroa mite. And so these two factors, as well as some other things like climate change, sort of all come together to really threaten the populations of bees, which, as we know, are very, very important, not just to our food system, but to our economy and to our environment in general.
So what sort of things did you guys learn here about pollinator health in general and how it can be improved?
So I don't keep bees. I've never kept bees before. So one of the things that I was learning about was how keeping bees can be beneficial to you. Or to me, and also how it can help to help the bees in an area. And there was also a lot of interesting sessions. One of the ones we went to was about beeswax and how people who are keeping bees can really utilize that for economic purposes. But I think that one of the really great things about keeping bees is that it's a lot of fun. It can make you money, and it's also really, really good for the environment.
Yeah. So would you like to touch on how pollinator health and beekeeping in general fits in with the spheres of sustainability being environmental integrity, economic viability, and social equity?
Right, definitely. So bees, as I mentioned earlier, are critical for our environment and for our economy, which a lot of people don't think about. If you think about the three pillars, it's definitely an environmental concern. Bees are dying off because they're part of our ecosystems. They're part of the food chain, and they're really necessary for a lot of plants to survive. And that in and of itself is a big concern. But we're also seeing that in places like California, when the bees are becoming more scarce, it's becoming more expensive to produce things that we wouldn't really think about, like almonds, because the pollination services for those things are becoming much more expensive. And we could see potentially the prices of food rise if bees continue to decline. But it's also a concern because, you know, if you like honey, that's something you want to watch out for. If the price of honey goes up, I mean, that's more money out of your pocket. So it's really just a very, very complex issue and something that definitely needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. So how many students attended it, and what was the sort of schedule and logistics of the day like?
So we had 6 students that attended. I was one of them. Jared went as well. And then 4 other students who were interested in the topics. And we all kind of got to look at the things we were most interested in. So as I mentioned earlier, there was a lot of different sessions. I went to some of the interesting ones, like how to start beekeeping, how to look up for pesticides and diseases in a hive, which ties back into the depopulation issue that I was talking about earlier. And then also about beeswax and how that can be an economic boost to a person's business. But there were many other sessions as well that students went to. There was what bees are eating, feral versus domestic, swarm control, so creating splits and queening issues, and then also how people can really get started and understand bees more. So those were some interesting things that people got to learn about.
Awesome. So there have been some other projects on UK's campus centered around pollinator health and stuff like that. Jared, would you want to touch on what UK is doing to enhance overall bee health?
Absolutely. So in the past, I'd say 2 years or so, a lot of effort's been made on the UK campus to try to promote pollinator health and to engage students and people in the UK community. The one that people may be more familiar with is some work being done with Carmen Argaritis, Dr. Carmen Argaritis at Ag Engineering. And so you'll find different spots around the campus where you'll see plants being installed that support monarch butterflies and other pollinators, including bees. You'll see the butterfly houses, and you'll see a kind of an educational sign that demonstrates why we're working on this. For those who don't know, monarchs have been dying off in droves, and it's a very big national issue of trying to support monarchs and their populations. When we support one sort of insect, a butterfly, we also support other insects, including honeybees and other native bees. So that's the big one that people would be familiar with on campus. Another project that the Student Sustainability Council and the ESF supported was some work that Stephen Zumdick in biology, myself, and some of the faculty from biology and agricultural economics to do some citizen science work and to also plant pollinator plants in the Lexington community. One of the locations is along the Legacy Trail. For those who don't know, that's a really popular recreational trail for cycling and for running and whatnot. And there's a spot at the North Farm where we have installed about 350, 400 butterfly plants and pollinator plants. And this spring we plan to put up the signs that basically, again, for that educational outreach piece. And then the second location is at ERIC. I forgot what that stands for. Educational Research, Ecology Research and Education Center, which is off of Russell K. Road. And that's run through the biology department, and that's another location where we installed about 350, 400 plants. And in those two spots, we basically recruited student groups to help us plant the plants, and we got to teach them about why pollinators are important, why honeybees are important, some of the reasons we think bees and butterflies might be dying. And so those are the big, big projects that I know of that are trying to support bees and butterflies on campus and around Lexington.
Yeah, those are some awesome projects with some really cool impact. And so I'm really glad that it's a conversation that the whole community is sort of engaging in right now. With that, we are actually going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with more talk about the Kentucky Bee School. Welcome back. It is now 4:16 p.m. You're listening to Green Talks. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, the current director of outreach for the Student Sustainability Council, and I am talking with 2 student leaders who recently facilitated a trip to the Northern Kentucky Bee School. So where did the idea to sort of facilitate this trip come from?
So Zoe and I know each other through some other extracurricular activities, and she kind of let me know that she was interested in bees. And seeing as I'm an economist in training, a PhD student in agricultural economics, trying to do pollinator issues and other insect issues, that immediately grabbed my attention. And so at one point, I kind of found out about the bee school and told Zoe about it and said, well, why don't we consider trying to put together a proposal and we'll volunteer to be the drivers and organize the whole thing. And so that's kind of how it got started with, it was just really a question of, we knew we wanted to go to a bee school in Kentucky, but which was the one that would work well for lots of students on campus? So that was the one this past weekend that seemed to work well for a lot of students.
So you guys mentioned that there were sessions there to really appeal to everyone. What was the main demographic that you guys noticed? Were these experienced, seasoned professionals, or were there a lot of students, beginners there?
So there were, in one of the classes that I attended, because like I said, I don't have bees, I've never had them, and I don't know if your experience was different because you went to some of the more advanced sessions. In some of the ones that I went to, there was a lot of people that had never, ever kept bees before. And the way they explained things, the way they kind of went through everything was awesome because they taught it at a level where it was really clear and really easy to follow, but it wasn't, I guess, anything that people felt like they weren't learning anything new. So there was a lot of older people who were, you know, kind of trying bees for the first time. There were some younger people that were thinking about maybe using bees on their farm that they already had. And I think just everything in between. What did you see in your sessions that you went to since you've kept bees before and you kind of went to some of the more advanced ones?
So the first session that I went to was focusing on varroa mites, as you mentioned before, and basically how to basically detect and test for varroa mites. And if you have them, what should be your strategies for trying to eliminate them? And varroa mites everyone has them. It's just a question of how do you deal with them and how early can you detect them and what techniques do you use? And even though I've done some beekeeping in the past, I really didn't have any experience with that part of it. And so it was a lot, but it was fantastic. The instructor made everything really easy to kind of digest. I agree, though, that the workshop or the school was really well suited for anyone of any level of experience. And I was most impressed with why some of the instructors were there. It was clear to me that it wasn't just about, you know, let's make honey for the sake of making money. Some of the instructors really were passionate about being beekeeping, and they kind of acknowledged that the average beekeeper isn't exactly young. And so they want to make sure that they share this information with anyone who is, you know, maybe in college and says, well, is this something that I'd want to do as a hobby? But they also were willing to speak to those who were doing it as a business. So I really applaud them for making it as approachable to the broadest group of people possible.
Awesome. So if people are listening and are really excited and interested in starting up a beekeeping project, what is the first step or what are the resources available to them? How do they kick that off?
I would recommend they go to bee school.
You should definitely go to bee school, for sure.
I've kept bees a little bit beforehand, and I still felt like I learned so much, and I could go back two more times and still learn a lot more. Even just walking around, because they have some vendors selling equipment and things, you just, you know, okay, you see what a hive tool looks like. You see what a frame looks like. You see what a super looks like. You know what a super is at all. I mean, so you just kind of learn the language. And you know, if you decide that you ever want to have your own hive, who are some people that would be good resources to talk to? And yeah, bee school, definitely the first place to start if you're thinking about keeping bees.
Awesome. So what, to preface that, what sort of supplies would they need, or not supplies really, capacity would they need? Like, do you need a lot of land for this? Can this be done in a sort of suburban local area?
So This really depends on the community and kind of what the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing my age, but I have in-laws, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they were thinking about having bees in their neighborhood, but the homeowners association basically said no go.
Makes sense.
On the other hand, you know, in Lexington, people can have chickens in their yards, and so maybe we're a little bit more friendly towards having bees in the city.
And the other thing you want to watch out for, too, is if you do live in a suburban area, sometimes the pesticides that are hurting bees that we were talking about earlier, like the neonicotinoids, they can be present in things that are used oftentimes in neighborhoods. So that is something to watch out for. If you're getting into it because you want to save the bees and then all your bees end up dying, that would be not so good.
Tragic.
So I think just doing research would be the first step, because with something like this where it's not that it's hard, it's just involved.
Mm-hmm.
The more you know, the better an experience you're going to have. You can never know too much about it. And even the people who were speaking at these things, who had been keeping bees for, you know, a decade or more, said that every year they learn something new. And again, it's going to be fun if you go to bee school. It's not going to hurt. You're just going to go and you're going to learn stuff, and it's going to make it such a better experience.
Awesome. Well, is there anything that people who may not be able to keep their own bees can do, such as, you know, buying patterns or just getting involved on a local level, or anything that like a layman can do to improve pollinator and bee health?
One is that if you buy honey, buying honey that's raw and local is a really good place to start, because you're supporting bees that are here in America and in Kentucky. So that would be one thing. Also, you know, watching out for companies that have good agricultural practices is also big, because like I was saying earlier, some of these chemicals that are hurting bees are happening on the large scale. So just watching out for that is good.
I think that kind of ties in with what you plant around your house. So native plants, of course, are a really good way of supporting native bees. Kind of what we were saying before, buying local honey is good. Most people don't realize that we import about half of our honey from overseas.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so, you know, kind of supporting the local economy and supporting local pollinators by buying local honey. There's a lot of other, I mean, a lot of it just comes down to, I would say, being aware of what's going on, you know, going to a farmer's market and talking to someone who could basically tell you, okay, this is what it's like to raise bees. And I would say that just showing some support. So, I kind of had the sense that people felt like it was a dying art,
mm-hmm.
to be a beekeeper, though it's kind of being revived in the last few years. And so people are just really eager to hear that you want to come visit their beehives. I found out that apparently visiting someone's beehives is called a bee yard. Like that's, I had no idea before, but go visit someone's bee yard.
I love that. So just on a personal level, what was y'all's favorite takeaway from the day?
Oh, my goodness.
On the spot.
I think mine was, like I was saying before, like how accessible it was.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd always seen it before. I always knew that at some point I'd like to have bees, but, mm-hmm. you know, I saw it as this sort of faraway thing. And hearing from all these people who had so many different experiences, you know, oh, I live in this place or I live in that place and I have these restraints, but I still keep bees, or I overcame this challenge, was really interesting, because it kind of breaks this attitude that you might have, like, well, I can't keep bees, you know, that's somebody else's job. And it really shows you that yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
you can keep them, and you can do something to help.
I think I have two answers. The first one's a nerdy one, and Claire Richoff, her talk about basically the behavior of bees was really interesting. I mean, what she was doing was basically challenging convention and saying, you know, aggressive bees aren't necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a sign of a healthy hive. And so I thought that was just really interesting, kind of challenging the status quo. The second, I guess, kind of more personal answer is I've had experience with bees, but kind of watching the other students who I was with kind of see that that glimmer in their eyes of like, this is a really awesome place to be, kind of the excitement of taking their Saturday. And we left very, very early on a Saturday morning and being super, super excited to learn about bees. That was probably the most rewarding piece to me, is that people who had no knowledge beforehand or no, hands-on experience were just still really, they want to come back for more. And that was awesome.
Absolutely. So that's all I have for you guys today, unless you have any last minute information you want to put out there.
It's fun to be here.
Go to bee school.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciated it and I had a really good time. I don't know. I'm a nerd about bees. I think that they're so important, and that any education that can happen on a university-wide level is vastly important. So thank you guys for putting it together for the 6 students impacted so much. So just for some closing announcements, applications for the 2017-2018 round of sustainability internships are open. You can find those at uky.edu/sustainability/student-internships. The Urban Forest Initiative is accepting applications for a workshop series. This is geared towards undergraduate participants, and they will receive a stipend upon completion of 20 hours worth of instruction with a potential for a paid summer internship position. Email grace.coy@uky.edu for more info. The SSC is accepting applications for both at-large members and organizational reps for the 2017-2018 Council. You can find more information on applying at uky.edu/sustainability/student-sustainability-council. As always, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Bee. All SSC meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at UKYSSC. I will be around next week for another installment of Green Talks. Until then, thanks for listening and keep it locked.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.FM and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.FM/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.